The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Abraham Hamilton III here. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. I am the host of the program, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa is in the building. And in the screening room, we have, for the summer at least, actually with us, I think just this week, we have our man Jameson Hurst in the screening room helping us to offer the video accompaniment for this program. And in studio with me to the right, as he has been and will be for a couple more weeks, Double R Reed Ritter, ladies and gentlemen. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality. This is a day where the consistent admonition to live locally is affirmed yet again. We'll get into this later in the program, but the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized today in a 6-3 decision. I'll let you guess who the three are. Reed has been reviewing Supreme Court cases. I'm pretty sure he can guess who the three are. The three musketeers, not musketeer, musket, or musty tears, pick which one you want. But the Supreme Court has affirmed the fact that states have the authority to say, you know what, we're not going to allow you to use our citizens' taxpayer dollars to fund baby murderers. It's amazing that an issue like this required the court to weigh in. Nevertheless, the decision that the state of South Carolina made in 2018 under its Republican Governor McMaster say, you know what? We don't want Medicaid dollars to go to fund baby murderers. So they made the move. As you might have imagined, they were sued as a result of it. The legal process being as tenuous as it can be, winds and winds and winds. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals opposed South Carolina. Then the state appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in the 6-3 decision, the court said, no, the state was right. And I'm saying all of that to say living locally works. There are things that have to transpire. Working through the processes we have in our country can take longer than many of us, most of us, any of us would want it to take. But ultimately, we have the opportunity for what is true to prevail. So as you are making your transition to your full-time jobs, I would remind you yet again, what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. Even though you have, you know, the head of NATO calling President Trump daddy, the NATO calling President Trump daddy is not more important than your children, if you're their father, saying daddy's home. Guys, we're living in precarious times, and I hope to illustrate from the scripture the fact that we haven't gotten where we are currently overnight. This has been the product of what I would argue is generational discipleship. And when I say that, much of what has transpired has been the combination both of affirmative pursuit as well as negligence. And I think the scripture gives us a bold picture, a bold description just how this happens. So as you're making your way to your full-time jobs now, man, don't let it happen on your watch. As far as it pertains to you and your jurisdiction, as far as it pertains to me and my jurisdiction, we must be about our Father's business. Darkness is not an affirmative force, but it does reoccupy the space that is vacated by the light. Jesus calls us to salt and light duty. We must not vacate our posts. We need to man our posts and be faithful what God has called us to. To the word of God, we go Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. This is a proverb of Solomon. Right before he went crazy. Proverbs 24, verse 30. This is what God's word says. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone walls were broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. This portion of the text, God moves Solomon to pen, and he articulates the results of the negligence employed over time, culminating in an instance, culminating in a moment to where you would feel as if you're being seized as by a robber. Thankfully, I know most of you have not had the horrible experience of facing a robber. Unfortunately, growing up where I grew up, I did. You know, I've had the uncomfortable experience of staring down the barrel of a gun for stuff. In this instance, it was my older brother and my younger brother, three of us together. My older brother had a leather jacket on, and my younger brother and I had these very, very tiny little chains my grandmother had bought for us. And they wanted this stuff. I know what that feels like, being seized in a moment. It wasn't something that was like, man, you can see it afar off, and then it drifts, and if it just in the moment, it's a moment of seizure. But what the scripture is saying, when negligence is employed, and there's no doubt about it that what Solomon has in view here applies in an agrarian society and is really talking about poverty in the economic sense, it could feel like all of a sudden disaster has attacked us. Disaster has come upon us. But the scripture said, I walk by the field of a sluggard. First thing you should notice is that there's a field. It's a sluggard, but the sluggard has a field. The field requires time, investment, diligence, and attention. But in noticing the sluggard's field, Solomon also observes the features of sluggardry. I just made up a word. What are those features? Huh. And he says he identifies him as a sluggard and a man who lacks sense also has a vineyard. What does he notice? The man's field, it's all overgrown. There's a field there. The field has the potential to produce the bounty available to sustain. But because it has not been kept properly, the field is overgrown with thorns. Its ground covered in nettles. Its walls broken down. As I'm reading this, it makes me think about what New Orleans looked like after Hurricane Katrina. It looked like a bomb of some sort had gone off. That wasn't the product of negligence over time, but I tell you this, it did expose and exacerbate evidence of negligence over time. But then the scripture says, Solomon, I paused and I considered what's going on here. Though it may feel in a moment as if poverty has seized in a moment, in an instance, like an armed man, like a robber has come upon you. But the truth is, right there in verse 33. A little sleep. Compounded over time. At the time that the sluggard should be tending to his field, his response is, let me sleep a little longer. It's kind of like the metaphor for the consistent snooze button hitter. You set an alarm. Why did you set an alarm? If you know you're going to just hit snooze 15 times. There's a field. You have a field. You know it requires tending to. And now it's time to tend the field. But let me sleep a little longer. A little slumber. It's time to get up. It's time to work. I need to till my field. I need to address my field. I need to tend to my field. Not yet. A little. Tomorrow. It's the person who says tomorrow. I have this thing that I must do, but I'll get to it tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. It's always later. It's always putting it off. It's always putting it off. It's always putting it off. And then, I got this project is due. Or some of you might relate to the college student, you know, the proverb, the consistent crammer. You know, all semester, no studying, no reading. It's finals time. Oh, I got to study. I didn't have all nighter. I have to all this. I got to do all of it. But what if you prepare before? It's not. Are you surprised that there's an exam? It's not like it's a pop quiz. You have a syllabus that told you day one that at the end of the semester, this test was coming. It feels in the moment as if the poverty has seized you. But the truth is, the sluggard has invested into the poverty day after day with a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Now, we can understand that. Many of us understand that in the economic context. Can I tell you something? That same phenomena is what we are witnessing in our country right now. Right now. And I heard somebody today describe Zoran Mamdani as Greta Thunberg with a beard. How did we get to the place where New York City Democrats will elect Zoran Mamdani? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. How did we get to the place we have such a generation of entitlement? How do we get a little sleep? It feels like it just came out of nowhere. I know it. I talk to people. What happened to our country, Abe? I remember when, fill in the blank. How did we get a little sleep? A little slumber. I keep referring to Benjamin Franklin's statement. What have you wrought? A republic, if you can keep it. If you can keep it. If you can keep it. We're now at the place where law students don't study the United States Constitution. We only read case law, the opinions of judges, majority opinions, concurring opinions, dissenting opinions. But what about the text of the Constitution? I heard Jasmine Crockett in Congress saying, well, since we want to talk about the Constitution, if we want to bring the Constitution into this, and I'm thinking, what? Ma'am, somehow you have been elected to the United States Congress. You are in a body that exists solely because we have a Constitution. What do you mean if we're going to bring the Constitution into this? Any matter that you're discussing on Capitol Hill, the Constitution is already involved. But how do we get here? And make no mistake about it. I am not conflating the Article 4 guarantee of a Republican form of government in our constitutional Republican framework in our nation. But make no mistake about it. The fact that we are a constitutional republic is a reality that flows downstream from the truths of Scripture. The reference to nature and nature's God in our Declaration of Independence and the founders' survey of all types of government throughout human history and expressly repudiating the notion of absolute democracy, which the founders described as mobocracy, and creating our constitutional republican form of government. And I will continue to emphasize that because Article 4 of our Constitution guarantees to every American citizen the right to a republican form of government that has nothing to do with a political party. There was no Republican Party when Article 4 was drafted. But yet we have just the slight consistent reference to our nation as a democracy, which I've explained to you before, that's intentional. But the truth is, we have arrived at this place, and I've said it, and I will continue to say it. When truth is rejected, the inevitable consequence is lawlessness. So you have the consistent effort of people who are being utilized, I would argue, by a demonic agenda to try to move us further and further and further away from the Lord. It's very similar to a ship that has been unmoored from the dock, and it drifts, and it drifts, and it drifts to a place to where it's now in the ocean, to where you don't even know where the shore was to begin with. That is happening in our nation, but it's the product of a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands generationally.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I alluded to this earlier, but I'm going to talk a bit about it, a case that comes from South Carolina. It is styled Medina versus Planned Parenthood of South Atlantic. The simple reality is that, generally speaking, on average, Medicaid is funded about 57% comes from federal tax dollars, but the remaining 43% comes from state tax dollars. All right. So it's a program that is administered by the state, but it is comprised of both by the states, but it's comprised of both federal and state funding. As I mentioned, in 2018, South Carolina's Governor McMaster issued an executive directive that said that Planned Parenthood is no longer qualified to receive state tax dollars, specifically through the Medicaid program. All right. The simple reasoning is because that he was a governor who was pro-life, that pro-life citizens in the state elected him, and that the citizens who elected him did not want their tax dollars going to fund baby murder directly or indirectly. Because, of course, you know, the UTEP two-step that is employed, that has to date allowed Planned Murderhood, I can't even call him Planned Parenthood in good conscience, Planned Murderhood to receive taxpayer dollars, has been that they don't use tax money, air quotes if you're listening to the show only, they don't use tax money for abortion. To which y'all have heard my burger joint analogy all the time. If I have a hamburger restaurant, you know, and I set my course that I'm going to generate funding, I have to fund my own business. But then the Rosa Foundation decides, hey, Abraham, I'd like to make contributions to your outfit. But we have this thing with our organization that we don't allow our funds to be used to purchase beef. So I go, no problem, Rosa Foundation. We won't use your money to purchase beef. We'll only use your dollars. If you can't see me, I'm winking. We'll only use your dollars to purchase buns. Question. Would my utilization of the Rosa Foundation's money aid me in purchasing beef? What did you think? You don't have to answer on the mic. You can just say it. Yes, the answer is yes. You want to know why? The more money I get from the Rosa Foundation, the less money I have to spend from my own bottom line to buy buns. So guess what the Rosa Foundation has just done? Freed up more of my money that I don't get from him to buy beef. It's an insane notion. So we know Planned Parenthood kills babies. Everybody knows that. Yet, we're going to allow Planned Parenthood to get tax dollars because they promise not to use the money that we give them to kill babies. It's a foolish idea. It's a ridiculous idea. And so Governor McMaster in South Carolina said, that's a foolish idea. We ain't playing those games anymore. So Planned Parenthood, you can't get any more of this money. Of course, y'all know what happened. They sued. The whole thing goes through the court. And think about this. Planned Parenthood is asserting that they have a right to taxpayer dollars. Now, we know they kill babies. This is what they do. There have been study after study done that the so-called services that they employ, the overwhelming majority of these services are en route to perform the termination of the child, the murder of the babies. So South Carolina says no more of this. Case goes all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. The other thing you should note is that South Carolina didn't say that we won't provide Medicaid funding for services that have nothing to do with murdering babies in the state. We just don't want baby murderers getting our tax money. So there are over 140 additional clinics and facilities in the state of South Carolina that does the services that Planned Parenthood say they do, but the other clinics don't murder babies. Makes it to the Supreme Court. And in a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court rules, yeah, states have the authority to do that. Guys, this is a huge win because the case comes from South Carolina. But what it shows is that, guess what? Other states, you can do the exact same thing. So every other state that does not want to allow its citizens' tax dollars to be utilized by baby murderers, they can do the exact same thing that South Carolina has done. And they can rest and understand that the Supreme Court has already made a decision with a 6-3 ruling that will affirm what they decide to do. As I mentioned, Justice Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote an additional concurring opinion, and he articulated it in his concurrence that he wrote separately to highlight how federal law is being abused to allow lawsuits in context that the Congress never intended. Of course, you can expect the three musketeers, to dissent. And Justice Ketanji Brown, I don't know what a woman is, Jackson, saying that the court is allowing individual citizens, depriving the individual citizens from the ability for them to choose the healthcare provider of their choice. Can we stop with the foolishness? Killing babies is not healthcare. It's not. The other thing is, you can decide where you want to go. You just can't use taxpayer dollars to do it. That's all. So that was a huge decision today. And I expect that states across the country that are pro-life states, pro-life legislators, pro-life governors, they'll do the exact same thing. Because now you see the courts have already paved the way for you to do it. It's also noteworthy that while the big, beautiful bill is being debated, that there are provisions in the big, beautiful bill that was passed in the House of Representatives and is being debated now in the Senate. But as it stands, as I understand it, that the provisions to defund baby murderers is still in the legislation. I've explained before, it's a conflict in reality. One of the major things in the legislation that has to be codified is the tax cuts from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act from President Trump's first term. As you all know, those were set to expire. That has to be made permanent. But this would be a great opportunity, and I look forward to this happening, to say, you know what? If you kill babies, you're not entitled to taxpayer money. Do you realize that Planned Parenthood's budget exceeds $2 billion annually? Do you realize how much of their budget consists of taxpayer money? It's absurd. Yet it has persisted in our country for quite some time. So I celebrate today's decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. The case is styled Medina versus Planned Parenthood South Atlantic. If you want to peruse the case, 6-3 decision. So you have Justices Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Alito, Thomas, John Roberts, and Amy Coney Barrett in the majority. The three musketeers, Justices Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown. What's a woman? I don't know, Jackson. In the minority. That's a big deal. And just, here's a little note. According, the Detroit News highlighted that today's ruling by the Supreme Court could result in about 200 Planned Parenthood locations closing. as a result of being cut off from this source of tax revenue. In the 200 locations, I would imagine, is not solely in the state of South Carolina, because there are two Planned Parenthood clinics in the largest cities in South Carolina, Columbus and Charleston. But the result of this decision could result in 200 of their locations closing down. We'll see what happens, but that is what is being reported. All right. Billionaire investor, founder and CEO of the hedge fund Pershing Square Capital, and also the hedge fund manager, Bill Ackman, he was none too pleased. When he got up this morning, that's right, shut him down. Shut Planned Murderhood down. Shut him down. You know, I think if more people understood the foundations of Planned Parenthood and their eugenics foundations and how, you know, the Nazis learned the things that they learned that moved them toward the gas chambers, they learned it and justified it by stuff they learned from the Eugenics Society in America. And how Margaret Sanger, who sought to annihilate what she called human weeds, all black people, kill them. This is what she said. All infirmed people, kill them. All people who we don't deem worthy of reproduction, sterilize them. And it just so happens that if you do a little study, where are the most Planned Murderhood facilities located? They're located in the urban communities all across the country. Huh. And make no mistake about it, they want to kill children from all sectors, but they especially want to get rid of these human weeds. And this is why I don't trust these regressives, because you have all of this, you know, political correct terminology. This is racist and that is racist. I'm like, we all know Margaret Sanger was racist, and not just racist in the general sense, who literally wanted to kill people because of their ethnicity. Yeah, you don't see anybody saying they want to. Don't talk about that publicly. Yet this is the organization that gets hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars. It's crazy, man. Shut them down. Shut them down. If you are so viable, and if your quote-unquote services are so necessary, why not stand on your own 2 feet without taxpayer money? Because the one thing you do that is egregious, that it causes your operations to be detestable, is that you kill babies. You kill babies. And you justify it by saying, this is healthcare. That's absurd. The hedge fund manager I was talking about is a man by the name of Bill Ackman. Bill Ackman, and being a hedge fund manager, you know he has bases in New York, in Wall Street. Well, he was appalled that he woke up to a Zoran Mamdani NYC election, to the point, I won't report on it. I'll read it for you, as he took to social media to express his concern. We'll get right to the point. Quote, there are hundreds of millions of dollars of capital available to back a competitor to Mamdani that can be put together overnight. I am in text strings with people and WhatsApp groups organizing the effort currently. Bill Ackman is pledging to lead an effort to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to support a candidate who can beat Mamdani in New York. Bill Ackman, he said, quote, I awoke this morning gravely concerned about New York City. I thought, what has New York City become that an avowed socialist who has supported defunding the police, whose solution to lowering food prices is city-owned supermarkets, who doesn't understand that freezing rents will only make apartments scarcer and more expensive in the long run, that he could win the Democrat nomination for the mayorship. He went on to talk about the socialist experiments and how other major cities have been reduced literally to dung receptacles. San Francisco, I'm looking at you. The city where you can, they have great seafood in the city. You also have a high chance you'll walk by and see a person eliminating waste on the sidewalk. Defecating. I'm not joking. Regularly. So Bill Ackman, a man who has the money, he is a billionaire personally. He's the hedge fund manager for the hedge fund that he founded, Pershing Square Capital. He's putting his money, or let me say it this way, putting money where his mouth is, pledging to bankroll a candidate who could beat him. Yeah. So there are lots of people that are projecting, you know, a mass exodus from the state and all this kind of stuff. But remember what I said in the first segment? How did we get here? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will seize you like an armed man. It feels like it's instant, but it's actually been developing over time. Bill Ackman concluded his screed on social media by calling on his followers to crowdsource potential candidates, candidate names, and to conduct polling to identify the most viable challenger. See, his ability to generate revenue is based in New York City. And he is trying to operate in a capitalist venture that could very well end up with a socialist communist mayor. You tell me how you're going to square that circle. So he is trying to put the money up to field a candidate who can beat Mr. Cardamom.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. I just have one question for Bill Ackman, who wants to put hundreds of millions of dollars together to beat Mom Donnie. Where you been, bro? Where have you been? And Bobby made this statement during the break. It's like, why are people so reactive? It's like you didn't know Mom Donnie was a terrorist and a terrorist sympathizer. I'm sorry. Let me be clear. Terrorist sympathizer and communist. Like, you didn't know that before this week? Maybe he didn't. To which I would simply say, why? So now you want to throw it in, which, you know, y'all know how this works, politics and money and all this kind of stuff. But let me just add in, Andrew Cuomo outspent Mom Donnie by $35 million. Andrew Cuomo had way more money than Mom Donnie. Now, I know money is important in politics, but money is not the ultimate determining factor. You want to know another example of money not being the end-all be-all? You want to remember who raised and spent the most money in the 2024 presidential election? Do we want to talk about that? She Shall Never Be the President, the remix, had over $2 billion. That didn't result in a win for her. I'm just saying, if you show up at the last minute to throw money around, but you have a people that is bent toward destruction, I don't know if your last minute millions is going to be the thing that saves the day, my man. So when I say where you been, I'm not just talking about where have you been with your money only. Where have you been? All right. Next topic. If you are a Christ follower, when you study the scriptures, you know that deception can be accomplished by both lies of commission and lies of omission. Clearly, lies of commission is when you affirmatively make an assertion to deceive. Lies of omission often occur when you refuse to tell the whole story in an effort to deceive. That reality is what much of the American media, also known as Goebbels Inc., and this is why I call them Goebbels Inc., is engaged in, has been engaged in lately. So you heard the report, and I think the Crescent News Network was the first ones to run with it. When they're providing leaked data from the bomb damage assessment, first of all, and Bobby knows this as a veteran, thank you for your service. In order to accomplish thorough bomb damage assessment, at some point you have to get on the ground. At some point. There are things you can do from the sky, there are things you can do with radar and things of that nature, but at some point you have to get on the ground. Okay? So if your bomb damage assessment is limited to the pictures from satellites that's been circulating on social media for the last week, that's not a thorough bomb damage assessment. Okay? That's right. Pastor Carl says, that's the type of lie Satan told in the beginning, a lie of omission. That's right. That's right. So news stories have been swirling around. Ooh, leaked data from an internal intelligence community memoranda indicates that the damage caused by the bunker-busting MOP massive ordnance penetrating bombs have only been sufficient to set back the Iranian nuclear program months at most. It's like, guys, that's so wild. To which Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was quite upset. And in a press conference, took the media to task. I'm going to give you a snippet of that and then explain why the media is engaged in deception by omission in an effort to create a narrative that will be repeated in the American body politic. You've heard the adage that a lie will travel the world twice as fast as the truth, right? Well, what you are experiencing right now in real time is an effort of deception that our media in our own nation, the legacy media, Goebbels Inc., has been all too willing to engage in. Listen to and watch Pete Hegseth rebuke the media on this point. Clip number one. Clip one. Go.
And time again, classified information is leaked or peddled for political purposes to try to make the president look bad. And what's really happening is you're undermining the success of incredible B-2 pilots and incredible F-35 pilots and incredible refuelers and incredible air defenders who accomplished their mission, set back a nuclear program in ways that other presidents would have dreamed. How about we celebrate that? How about we talk about how special America is, that only we have these capabilities? I think it's too much to ask, unfortunately, for the fake news. So we're used to that. But we also have an opportunity to stand at the podium and read the truth of what's really happening. And the reality is, you want to call it destroyed, you want to call it defeated, you want to call it obliterated, choose your word. This was an historically successful attack, and we should celebrate it as Americans, and it gives us a chance to have peace, chance to have a deal, and an opportunity to prevent a nuclear Iran, which is something President Trump talked about for 20 years.
So this is why I'm saying what I'm saying, guys. Pete Hegseth rightfully called him out, because this was a moment, man. You're talking about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. This was a moment that should have been, and it still should be, a moment where all of America should be heartened, because our nation is unique. Nations around the world lined up to say, whew, what the United States of America just pulled off, Nobody could have done that. And frankly, one of the major things is that these people hate President Trump so much that they allow their hatred for President Trump to eclipse their capacity to be patriotic. They hate Trump so much that they'll allow a deceptive leak to undermine one of the most effective missions, military missions the world has ever seen. One of the major reasons why, you know, the mission was effective was because you saw how quickly the Iranians were like, oh, time out. We're ready to talk. Time out. Time out. All right. All right. Ceasefire. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ceasefire. Ceasefire. So here's what may not be obvious. Following the Gulf Wars, the way that the intelligence community makes reports, which, by the way, is in classified documents that were not meant for public circulation, primarily because the bomb damage assessment cannot be thoroughly accomplished to date. So what you have is reports that are provided in stages. All right? You heard when the conversation is made that the so-called report that, well, the damage to Iran's nuclear capacities is only set their pursuit of a nuclear weapon back months. Now, this came from much of the media that before Operation Midnight Hammer, they would go on national TV and say over and over and over again, well, there's no evidence that Iran has any nuclear weapons. To which Marco Rubio has said, okay, you tell me what civilian nuclear usage requires uranium to be enriched to the 60% level. There is none. You tell me why the Iranians are working on an ICBM program, intercontinental ballistic missile. They're trying to eliminate Israel. They don't need ICBMs for that. You can use short-range ballistic missiles for that. Why do they want ICBMs? Why is Iran investing themselves in some type of, you know, travel to space? Do you think they're trying to go to the moon? Nah. They're trying to develop the capacity to have a warhead to put a nuke on the tip of it. The way the intelligence community disseminates information to date is that they have memoranda and they provide multiple options. The report that has been leaked, that the media has run with, like Speedy Gonzalez, meep, meep, and the Roadrunner, it made the statement concerning the Iranian nuclear program being set back months. And if you notice, what was included at the end? This is a low confidence report. Low confidence. If you notice, the leaker only released that portion of the report in low confidence, which means they're not highly confident that this is accurate. The way that intelligence community makes these reports is that they have a low confidence option, you have a moderate confidence option, and you have a high confidence option. So the low confidence option is what was leaked to the media, starting with the Crescent News Network. And all the other outlets picked up and ran with it. Intelligence community reports say that the damage to the Iranian nuclear program is not as extensive as they thought. It is only setting back the nuclear program back months. Did they include the moderate confidence option? Nope. Did they include the high confidence option in their leak? Nope. Anybody want to take a guess why? Anybody want to take a guess why? And they report this low confidence option in the news media to undermine President Trump and his administration members' repeated assertions that the nuclear program has been decimated. The nuclear program has been eviscerated. The nuclear program has been obliterated. There's a CIA report out now Bible was talking about. They didn't include that. Why? Because they're depriving the American populace of the context of the low confidence report because they want to undermine the work of our men and women in uniform and to undermine this president with narratives in the American populace. instead of standing back and recognizing, wait a minute. For so long, our nation had become a laughingstock. The embarrassment of the Afghanistan withdrawal debacle was beginning to change the perception of our nation around the world. But when you have our military service members who execute a mission that no other nation could have executed, and we rightly place a lot of attention on the operation of the B-2 bombers, the stealth bombers, where you have, 14 bombers in operation, the 7 that fly west. China, I see you. Then there have not been much conversation about the fact that the Isfahan site was not only barraged, was not barraged with the bunker busters, but you have Tomahawk missiles that were launched from an American submarine 400 miles away. You have water just calmly sitting there, and then and obliterated the Isfahan site with precision. And the whole world goes, we can't do that. Guys, that was a moment for our nation to come together to celebrate our brave soldiers and to be heartened with the uniqueness of America once again being asserted on the global stage. But instead of that, we have our very own media working to undermine that pivotal moment in world history. And it's sickening. I've said before that we have, you know, the liars in media in our nation, the American Pravda, because that is truly who they are. So you are literally witnessing half-truths, lies by omission, to create a narrative. And you cannot tell me that these media outlets, I don't have a full research team. These people have full research team. You mean to tell me they don't have anybody on their staff that can say, hey, you do realize that was a low confidence report. You do realize that that's not anything that you want to place your reputation on to be disseminated publicly. But no, they run with it. And then one copies the other. You develop this whole narrative. Well, you said we have these bunker busters, but it didn't even do anything to the nuclear program. And it's coming from the same people who, before the Operation Midnight Hammer, would protest whether or not Iran even had a nuclear program to begin with. It's disgusting. And I'm sharing this with you so you can encourage your friends, family members, and loved ones to resist the lies of the liars and not be swayed away from truth. A full bomb damage assessment will be the result of people being able to examine the rubble on the ground, ultimately. This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe versus Wade, but did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.